For those of you who didn't hear, Gil said that I have to read this first scripture really slowly. So if we get our new Pew Bibles out, and if we all turn to page 1033, my line of work, you'll learn how to talk to people and how to drag things out so that way your friends can get there and get jobs done. So page 1033, we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. And Paul records for us here, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And if you want to get ready for the next one, turn over a few pages to page 1041. 1041, and then we'll be ready for the reading at that time. And we'll be singing, "By Christ Redeemed." Ready? Yeah, I don't have a clicker. I don't. Shall we sing? "By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the word and the death of our dear Lord until he Corinthians, or I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Paul writes to us, "And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf."
You can just use the book, Gil, if you want. Except for the ones that didn't have numbers for. Oh, I was just saying we could just use the book and sort of do this if you want. We'll be singing number 354, "I Gave My Life for Thee."
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed. That thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. thee, what hast thou given for me?
To truly understand Isaiah 53:12, because it starts therefore, we need to go back to be able to understand what the therefore means. So in Isaiah 53 verse 10, it says, yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou soul makes his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied by the knowledge of himself. Shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
922 is the one he wants to use for this. 922.
Instead of
360. Yeah. Jesus paid it all.
Washed it white as snow. Lord, now first buds, and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin and such a crimson stain, it washed it white as snow. And before the throne, I stand in Him complete. I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin and lust, a crimson stain, it washed it white as snow.
Eric?
Luke records for us in chapter 23 and verse 33, perhaps the end of a journey as the scripture begins to read it. It said, when they came unto the place which is called the skull, who is they? Jesus, the two male factors that were going to be crucified on the cross with Him. The Roman soldiers who were very much expert in the art of crucifixion. Perhaps His mother, perhaps the apostles. So many people, when they got to this point in life, thought this truly had to be the end of the road. There they crucified Him, and the malefactor, one on the right hand and one on the left.
Lead me to Calvary.
Holy King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me. To Calvary. Show me the tomb where Thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels and robes of light arrayed guarded Thee whilst Thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me like Mary through the gloom come with a gift to Thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget Thine agony. Lest be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for Thee. Even thy cup of grief to share, Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Scripture reading.
Reading from 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, the consummation of love. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Reading from Colossians 2:13-14. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, and which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to
I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be picking up at verse 24 and reading verse 25. Paul says that when he, Jesus, had given thanks, he broke it, meaning the bread, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
So mi do mi so. Jesus, on that night betrayed, honored God as he blessed the bread, and to his disciples said, the
I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. Matthew records, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29.
Number 377.
Maybe the wrong book.
It's in the new book. While he's finding that number,
taking into consideration that each and every time we assemble a devotional or construct or compose a devotional, usually you pick a theme and you follow that theme. And thus all the songs in the scripture are all based on the same thing. So in taking that into consideration, I was thought to myself, you know, about the only time we really enjoy singing about the sacrifice of Jesus, it usually takes place during the Lord's Supper, during morning worship. And so I thought to myself, you know what, there's nothing written in stone that says we can only remember the sacrifice of Jesus during the Lord's Supper. And it's not very often that we actually get the opportunity to sing these kind of songs outside of partaking of the Lord's Supper. But it's something that we should remember each and every day of our lives, the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, because that's what gives us our hope. And without that sacrifice, it would be a really dull day. So we can find joy and we rejoice in the sacrifice that Jesus gave on our behalf. Because, you know, we don't have to bear the punishment of our own sin. And the grace of God has allowed us to have that hope that the day's going to come where every knee is going to bow and proclaim Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. And that He lived and died and rose again so that we would have a relationship with our Lord and we could be with Him in eternity. So as I said this morning when I was offering prayer for the Lord's Supper, that one day we're going to get to meet Him face to face. And boy, is that going to be a time for us to rejoice and tell Him how much we love Him and thank Him for what He has done for us. So we'll go ahead and continue in our songs here. He Still Came. I know we don't sing this song often, but we're going to sing it tonight. No solo mi do, no palace, no jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty, no throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no court of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lowly man. He left all heaven's glory to fulfill His Father's plan. He still came just for me. He still came, knowing all He would endure. He still came, disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross. He still came just for me. He still came. No family, no friends to help at the end. No help, no substitute. Much pain and much work to give love and worth. He bore our sins and grief. Yet the hope of what He offered so outweighed what must be done. He chose to be my victor and assured my part unwon. He still came just for me. He still came,
knowing all he would endure, he still came, disregarding every cause. From the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came.
Give away the ending. No worries. You can always tell a man of God by the way he speaks that the truth comes out of his mouth. And I appreciate those words. And basically, I'm thinking, why didn't you just do the invitation, Mike? So we were encouraging the men to get together to, well, actually, Gil was talking about it this morning, about how it doesn't take 5 minutes, it doesn't take 15 minutes, and it didn't take 56 minutes like it did the last time I was up here to talk about the Word of God and how it impacts our lives. So I appreciate everything that you just said, but I'm just going to repeat what Mike said, pretty much. No. So I was doing a little tinkering on the cars, as I often do on a Sunday if I'm not napping after services, and I always say it's God's way of showing me, teaching me patience because it didn't give me girls. So I got a text on my phone, and Charles says, Aaron's giving the invitation. I was like, I'm giving the invitation, apparently. So I quickly, as any good up-and-coming person who wants to preach, maybe sometime in his life after he retires or what, be ready, quickly went on Google. And Kane got some very interesting notes for you. So tonight we're going to talk about Jesus' sacrifice. And part of how we can remember how Jesus sacrificed is really what Jesus' sacrifice does for us. Also, we're not going to only talk about the time on the cross, which was the ultimate sacrifice. We also have to remember that the entire life of Christ was one huge sacrifice. Just him coming down, being God, and living as a man was a sacrifice. So the first thing that we want to bring out is every single time you go to a football team, and they have the sign, it says John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that act alone, Jesus' sacrifice, shows God's love. John 3:15 points to the fact of when Moses raised the bronze serpent up, and that all eyes that look on him would not perish, but live. And that's the foreso of that statement there, that it points to the thing before. It's like therefore, as we discussed earlier. Jesus' sacrifice shows God's grace and mercy, according to Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, God Christ died for us. So God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. Jesus' sacrifice shows our security in God. What we refer to as hope is our security, our understanding that the future is set. Hebrews 9:12, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood and goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Jesus' sacrifice shows an example of humility. So this is also not just pointing to the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, but to his life. His life as an example. And we don't have this God telling us, you need to do this, you need to do that, and has never been in man's shoes. That was part of Jesus' sacrifice, to show us that it could be done. Here is the path through the minefield. Come up and over the wall, follow me. And if you've ever gone through a minefield, which I haven't, but I've seen it, I played a video game with it once. You actually have to put your foot on exactly the spot that the person ran through the minefield with. Otherwise than that, you will blow up. Philippians 2:6-8. Who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Anybody ever come to you and say, I really don't know what God wants for me in my life? Ever have that? I don't know what God put me here for a reason. And I just need to know what that reason is. Well, folks, there it is. The example of Christ is a servant. You are God. You are here to be a servant. Jesus' sacrifice purifies us. Hebrews 9:14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience for dead works to serve, there's that word again, the living God. Jesus' sacrifice pays the price for our freedom. I want to talk about understanding this verse in an entirety. Go look in the Old Testament about the act of redemption. That a person who is related to you has to come and offer himself. That's why Jesus calls us his brothers. Because without that family tie, there could have been no redemption in the Old Testament. So it's a foreshadowing, as everything is in the Old Testament, to Jesus. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus' sacrifice was pleasing to God. This is very hard for us to wrap our head around tragedy, when tragedy strikes us, when bad things happen to good people, as they say. How is that good? So, was it good that Christ died for your sins? Absolutely. Hallelujah. Amen. But at the time, in the garden, could you have said the same thing? So it strikes me to say, who are we to say what is good in the eyes of God and what is bad in the eyes of God? Because God says this, all things work out to good from God. That's calamity, folks. Moses told him, he says, I'm the one who makes mouths. I'm the one who makes people deaf. Wait a minute. God does bad things to bad people? Well, what's bad? Who are we to judge God and what is bad and what is good? Jesus' sacrifice shows that he is our friend, that we have that relationship. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And folks, I'll go one more better than that. I would probably lay down my life for friends, maybe strangers, given the situation, but I don't think I'd put my son in harm's way. That's what God did for us. Jesus' sacrifice gives us a power to follow his example, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus' sacrifice sets us apart for his good works. The entire Old Testament is about a separate people. It's about God taking a people and separating him. Jesus' sacrifice makes that separation happen once again for all mankind. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us, there's that redemption again, from all lawlessness and to purify, there's that purification, for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Take it back to the Old Testament. So that you will be my people. Now we're his people in the new. Jesus' sacrifice makes us righteous. It's the only thing that makes us righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Talking about the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice sets us apart for his good works. It's not about you. It's about God. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Jesus' sacrifice gives us all victory. Hebrews 10:12-14. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. We are also called to sacrifice. Rich man came to Jesus and said, all of these commandments I have done from my youth. Jesus looked at him and said, sell everything and follow me. Sacrifice. That's what Jesus asked us for us. Matthew 16:24, if anyone could come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's about the master. It's not about the servant. So what sacrifice will we make for him? Jesus has already paid the ultimate sacrifice, and we have his example, his life of humility on this earth, his perfect path of righteousness. We are not going to do it. Not going to happen. This is why we have grace. Grace is very, very well defined as unmerited favor, and I don't have any problem with that definition. But what grace is that thing that God knows that we can do versus perfection. Now, unfortunately for all of us, this is going to be different. People have different, they're born differently. They have different attributes about them. But here's what God knows you can do, and here's perfection. I mean, I'm not tall enough for that. But the distance between those two is God's grace. God's grace brings us into perfection. And if you're not a child of God, you haven't even started this journey. There is no gap for you. There is no grace for you. There is no perfection. And we all need to have perfection to make it into the kingdom of heaven. So if you're not a Christian, let us show you, not you how you can be perfect, but how Christ and God can make you perfect. Come, while we stand and sing.